It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. Please turn to Genesis chapter 47. We're going to begin reading with the 13th verse because that's where our study is going to be today. And please that you prepare today, and I hope that you can take an opportunity to open your Bibles and follow along. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Again, we'll be reading from Genesis chapter 47, begin reading with the 13th verse, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. We may even get a little bit into chapter 48, but we're going to begin now with Genesis 47, verse 13. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought, and Joseph brought the money unto Pharaoh's house. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth." And Joseph said, "Give our cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail." And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year, and said unto him, "We will not hide it from my lord how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle, and there is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed, that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate." Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt even to the other and thereof, end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day, and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase, that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones." And they said, "Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me, and he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. And it came to pass, after these things, that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob, and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself, and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. I will make of thee a multitude of people, and I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, because I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine as Reuben and Simeon. They shall live, they shall be mine. We're going to end with the fifth verse there, and we'll begin with prayer as we always do. Please, dear Lord, that you will guide and lead us through this study. We have, for the last several times, read many verses of Scripture as we carry through to the end of this book, the book of Genesis. I thank you for the wonderful study that you have given us through these many months as we have studied and enjoyed and searched your word. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us now as we study these verses, your word, that you'll touch our hearts, that you will bring, Lord, those that are lost to you. Please, dear God, that they will be saved quickly. They will come by faith to you, and they will see their sin and see the need of salvation, and they will grab a hold of this eternal life that you offer. Salvation can be theirs. Salvation can be anyone's if they'll just come to you. Please, dear Lord, that they do that today, that they call upon you for salvation. Please, dear Lord, please, I just ask that that happen today, that many would be saved today as they listen to this program and stop depending upon their church doctrine of some sort or another that is contrary to the Word of God. If each church would stand upon the Word of God, we would find that salvation would be preached and eternal security. People would know that once you've come by faith, you're saved, and you're saved eternally because the Spirit of God keeps us. All this is wonderfully taught in God's Word. Father, thank you for that teaching, and thank you for your Word. Now, please guide and lead us as we study today. Touch each and every one of our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, and again, it's a wonderful time and a wonderful opportunity we have to come and study together. I'm glad that you've joined us. And as we begin now, we kind of are almost midstream here with Jacob and Joseph, and we find that we are in Egypt. All the sons have come down now, and we have Reuben and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Gad, Asher. We have Joseph and Benjamin, and as we Dan, Naphtali. I believe that is the 12 sons as we've listed them here. It's a wonderful opportunity now that Jacob has to continue to grow his family and most of all feed his family, because you see the famine was almost worldwide, or at least regional wide, in this whole area, because they came from far and wide to buy grain from Pharaoh, actually from Joseph. And they were no different here with Jacob and these 12 of his, actually 11 of his boys, because Joseph was already down there. And we looked at the number of souls that have come down. And so, as we see the 70 souls, as we talked about, and actually it was a couple more than that, as we as we looked at the numbers, it started out to be 66 and then 70, and then we even add a couple of more, believing that it's adding in Joseph's family, and sometimes the wives, the women, were not added into the picture. We have them in Egypt now. We have them in a place called Goshen. And so that's the specified place where Joseph and Pharaoh had agreed that that would be fine. It was a land of plenty for the nation of Israel, even though they were still in the famine. And if you'll remember right here, we have the location, the best land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded, verse 11. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his brother's household with bread according to their families. There was no bread in the land, for the famine was very sore, as we begin with the 13th verse. And this famine was continuing to get worse and worse. You know, one year you can kind of survive. You know, if it's a little dry, why, maybe you'll have, if you had some rains in the fall, why, we have a decent crop, you know, maybe an average crop, something like that. Well, the problem was here that it wasn't just 1 year. It wasn't just 2 years. It was 7 years. It was 7 years of famine. They had 7 years of plenty. They had 7 years of famine. Well, we know what Joseph had done in putting into place, getting a fifth, 20%, and he put it in the granaries. He strategically placed this in communities of where the people were at so that it would be easily given out as necessary. And so we begin here now, and I want you to follow this very closely, what Joseph is doing. And maybe you think that this is unnecessary, but if you would stop and think, as a fifth is what was given unto Joseph on Pharaoh's behalf, and you stop and think, that's only 20%. I think that most of us are probably in a much higher, even at a low income, we're still in a higher tax bracket than that. By the time you look at the taxes that we pay of every way, shape, and form, why, it is, much higher percentage of that, double, if not triple, what that is. And so for Pharaoh, Joseph here, to just take 20% and the good that he is doing with that, there's nothing to criticize Joseph about that, that's for sure. We find here that there is no bread in the land at all, for the famine was very sore. That was in verse 13. So that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. Every year it just continued to worsen. It got to the place that there was no food. Joseph gathered up all the money, the scripture says here in verse 14. All the money. Everybody had some money. Everybody was pretty well off. And they come, they would purchase this food products from Joseph. And Joseph was dealing on Pharaoh's behalf. And so here they come, they would offer the food, and they would pay the money, and Joseph would give them the food. Okay, they got to where they'd spent all their money. And now what are they going to do? Well, the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan. All the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth." Now, isn't it something that Joseph just stored up a fifth every year, and it appears like that there was no farmers, there was no people that made that same allowance. They didn't store up a percentage every year. It doesn't appear, does it? And Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money faileth." Verse 16. You run out of money, then you're going to have to sell your cattle. And so you see, we need to be responsible. You won't find any place in the scripture where there's something handed out. There's a cost to have food. There's a cost to feed your family. And we're expected to come up with that and to buy that. Now, here we're going to find that not only did they give all their money, so now they're broke, Next, they gave their cattle because, you know, if we've got no money, I can't support them. I can't take care of them. And so I need to eat. I've got to eat. And so they sold Pharaoh their cattle, which actually went through this man named Joseph. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. And so when they brought their cattle, it bought them enough feed, enough food, that they could live for a year. Now, you think about that. Now, we go back earlier there with Jacob and his sons, this man named Israel, when they were still in the land of Canaan, you know, sent the boys down. The boys bought some food. The boys brought the food back. Then they ran out of food again. They says, you go back down. Well, we can't go back without Benjamin. And so then they negotiated that, and finally Benjamin went along, and they sent back food once again. Each time it sustained Jacob's life. And we know the promises of God. We know the covenant of God, that he promises that that land, that people will become a great nation. Well, God's not going to go back on his word, and he doesn't. He continues to uphold his word, and he's put this man Joseph down into the land of Egypt. He has used Egypt to gather up all this food, that there is a place to come, and all the people from all the known world, or the area anyway, came unto Joseph to buy food. First with money, next with their cattle and with their livestock. And when the year was ended, verse 18, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, this isn't the second year of the famine, this is after they have run out of money, after they have brought their cattle, now they're coming back again. And they will say, we will not hide it from my Lord how that our money is spent. My Lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. This is quite a thing, isn't it? I mean, they started out here, and undoubtedly they weren't able in some manner or another to save to where they could carry themselves through these years. The only one that did was Joseph. Pharaoh listened to Joseph, and Pharaoh is getting gain from this because of it. He is getting all the cattle. Now we're finding that they're coming and they're turning all their land over. Now, to begin with, they got all the money. So the money is Pharaoh's. Now the cattle is Pharaoh's. And now we're beginning to see that the land and even the people, they are going to be servants unto Pharaoh. For what purpose? So they can buy more food. You see, if we can't eat, you know, you can have millions and billions of dollars in your checking account or in your bank account in stocks and bonds. But it comes to the time that for reasons of famine or whatever reason, that there is no food. And everything, the grocery stores all of a sudden become empty. And you have all this money. Well, you can bring that money and you can hand it to somebody. You can hand it to the owner of that grocery store and says, here, give me meat. Give me bread. And they says, I don't care how much money you have. I have none to give you. Now, what would you think of if that would happen? Because, you see, money isn't everything. We need to be able to eat. We need to be able to sustain ourselves. Well, that's what was taking place here. First they gave their money, then they gave their cattle. Now they're turning over their land and literally themselves as servants to Pharaoh. Now, what did Joseph gain by all this? The only report we have here is that it was done for Pharaoh. It was not done. Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. It was nothing that Joseph was doing, and he wasn't being unkind to the people. He says, you want food? I have food. What do you have to offer for the food? You don't work, you don't eat. It's a kind of a simple principle, you see. Now, the world has gotten away from that. The world looks around, oh, you have great need here, and oh, you have great need there, and say, just keep pouring it out, just keep handing it out. It was never intended that way. We weren't supposed to be the greatest welfare country in the world. We're supposed to be a hard-working people that desires to put in an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And if you don't get paid, you don't work. That's the way it should be. That's the way it was here. And we find that because food was so scarce, and it had lasted, that famine lasted 7 years, it lasted so long that a couple things began to happen. Again, they gave all their money. They had no more money. They gave her the cattle, and that was the only thing they had. They gave all their cattle. When that was gone, then the only thing they had to offer is, my Lord, I don't know what else to do because we have nothing. And Joseph said, you've got land and you have yourself. So please, I will take that for that. So to begin with, they came and bought it with money. Next, they came with the livestock, with the cattle and the horses. Now they come with their land and with their very being that they will serve. And again, verse 19, wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land, buy us and our land for bread. And we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. It just kept coming, and Joseph just kept supplying, didn't he? What a deal that God has placed in the heart of this man called Joseph. All this was done because he listened. He came by faith to Jesus Christ, the Messiah that was to come. Joseph also, at the same time, came by faith and did what God told him to do. Even though he had been mistreated from time to time, severely mistreated, and yet he still did what the Lord commanded him to do. And so now, the money's gone, the cattle's gone, the lands are gone, and it's just everybody's a servant, a slave, a tenant. They're going to pay rent unto Pharaoh. And so the only land that wasn't touched is what we have here in verse 22, the priests. You see, priests are peculiar people because they're the ones that worship all the gods of Egypt. And for some reason, Pharaoh had enough thought for them that he chose not to bother them. And so he didn't touch any land that the priests had. And only the land of the priests bought he not. For the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion, which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. Again, the support of Pharaoh to these folks, these priests, as they would come, and it was important to Pharaoh, not to Joseph, but it was important to Pharaoh that they had plenty to eat, and so they were allowed to keep their full portion of land in caring for it. And then Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Remember, not for Joseph, for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be yours for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your household, and for food for your little ones. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. Now, as we look just quickly at that, we find that that's a place where Joseph had installed this number, this fifth, this 20%, a fifth part. And we find that as Joseph sets all this up, we find that, he owns everything. He owns every part of every man. But you see, he didn't take away his dignity. It didn't take away his time because he gave him the opportunity to work. Okay, now that we have the land, that's fine. And the people, you know, when I don't care how much money you got, you can come and plop down here $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. And if I don't have any food and you're hungry, that money isn't going to make any difference at all. We need to have Jesus Christ as our Savior. You need to trust in Him today. And we see this beautiful picture here of how the Lord has sustained the nation of Israel. Because, you see, they'd have perished if they'd have stayed home. They didn't stay back in the land of Canaan. They came into the land of Egypt. And they found this man named Joseph, which turned out to be their brother and Jacob or Israel's son. And so everything's in place. Now they are given seed to go plant. We find that the law was made that a fifth be given. Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. That's for sure. Multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. And so from the time they came down into this land, what we call the world, came down, was given enough supplies to eat during that 17 years as the famine come to an end, and then they begin to see the blessings once again, but not until after that 7 years had ended. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And the 17 years that Jacob was in the land, so the whole age of Jacob was 147 years, and the time grew nigh that Israel must die. And it came, and he called his son Joseph, and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and true with me, and bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me. And he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Now, as we've just finished reading the chapter 47 here, I want you to see that Jacob is beginning to walk by faith, isn't he? He knows that this isn't their last home. The home that they had received, the promises they received, the land they had received, was all in the land of Canaan, not down in Egypt. And he says, I know that. You're not going to stay here. I want you to take me back. And I want you to bury me. When I die, I want you to bury me with my grandfather Abraham, my father Isaac. And please, dear Lord, dear Joseph, that you will do this, that you will carry this out. And he made him swear that he would not bury him in this land because, you see, he knew the promise. And he knew there'd be a time that the people would come back and move back in when this famine was over. And I think he believed that it was going to happen very soon. I don't think he thought they were going to be there for a long time. And we're into 17 years now. The famine only lasted seven, and they were in the land of Canaan for a couple of those years. And so 4 to 5 years is all the longer they were in Egypt till the famine ended and they began. All that time, Joseph supplied every need. He was able to take care of everything. But he had acquired then for Pharaoh all the money, all the cattle and livestock, horses and everything, and he had acquired all the land and all the people now were his servants or his tenant farmers. And so as all this took place, they all moved back into town because that's where the food was. And so all this has taken place. You know, it's something as we look at this picture. Out of God's provision, how God looked at what was going to happen, and he brought Joseph down ahead and prepared this. And finally now he has brought the family together, and Jacob has this last request. Take me home. Because this isn't his home. He's a sojourner, and so are we. We are sojourners. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?